Continuing our studies in the book of 1 Thessalonians, I would invite you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read verses 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have an exhortation to be sober, and to put on the spiritual armor. And he is talking to those who are of the day. He has already referred to them in verse 4, where he says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are the sons of light and the sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness." So he is encouraging those that are of the day to put on the breastplate, but he's also encouraging us to be sober as well. This passage of Scripture refers to obtaining salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation is not the common salvation that one receives when he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. This is the salvation that I read about in 1 Peter chapter 1. The salvation of our life, the salvation of our soul. The salvation that the prophets looked into. The prophets have the same salvation that we have. But they understood that salvation based upon the knowledge they had of the sacrificial animal. They did not know the Messiah or Jesus Christ. As yet, of course, he hadn't come. But they had experienced the salvation that you and I and all that are in the family of God experiences when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But the salvation of the soul based upon faith is a different salvation. It is a salvation that is found in the body of Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're put into the body. You're baptized into the body of Christ. You become a member of the body of Christ. But there is a salvation in the body of Christ that pertains to faith and the life for the age, or the salvation of the soul, as referred to in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1 in verse 9. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul refers to that salvation where he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal or age-lasting glory." Notice the word obtain. It's also translated attain. The salvation that puts us into the body of Christ is not attained. We do not obtain it or attain it or acquire it or gain it as the Greek word would imply. But when it comes to the salvation of our soul, or the salvation of our life, it is based upon suffering. It is based upon enduring. It is based upon the trial of your faith, which is an ongoing thing. It's continuing. It's a continuing action. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul," or life for the coming age. And that salvation of which the prophets prophesied of was the salvation by faith, and they, of course, did not appreciate the salvation by faith, because faith did not come until after the law, and faith came on the scene after Jesus Christ came. Now, the exhortation is to be sober. This word sober has to do with drunkenness. It has to do with intoxication. And this is the passage of Scripture in Luke 12 talks about a servant who became drunk. And I want to read that in Luke chapter 12, verses 45 through 48. And if that drunken servant, or if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat men servants and maidens, and to eat, drink, and to be drunken. Here is a servant of the Lord who became drunk, or drunken. And why did he become drunken? It's because he was saying in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming. The coming of the Lord lost its significance. And so therefore his lifestyle changed. Verse 46 tells us that the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. If we're not sober, we will not be looking for the Lord when he comes. And in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the faithless, those that are not pleasing God. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many. The word stripes is in italics. It's been added by the translators. So it means suffering because of behavior. What kind of behavior? Becoming drunken. Becoming distracted in the truths pertaining to the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore there is consequences for those who know the Lord's will and they do not respond to it in obedience. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of the same they will ask the more. It's a dangerous thing to grow in the knowledge of the Word, because it requires accountability, it requires responsibility, and it requires diligence. And one of the things that Paul encourages those at Thessalonica is to be sober. Do not let yourself become intoxicated with the cares of this world, with any kind of drug, whether it's liquor or the social drugs that are going on today, because it will deaden your anticipation of the soon return of the Lord. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. What does that mean? Not appointed us to wrath. The word for should be translated because. I reflected upon the reason of because God had given us a warning about being drunk. He gave us in verse 8. He gave us a warning of, or the encouragement to put on the spiritual armor. He encouraged us to be of the day, to be enlightened, because he did not want us to receive the many stripes, if you want to put it that way, or the consequences of our behavior. That's the reason why the word because is in there. He hasn't appointed us, or he has not destined or assigned us to wrath. Now, a lot of people refer to this wrath as to the tribulation period. But I associate it with the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, let me finish reading that verse. to obtain salvation or deliverance and victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not appointed us to wrath or destined us to wrath or assigned us to wrath, but to attain or obtain the salvation in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, it says, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered. That's not a happy translation, because this is in the present tense. He is in the process of delivering us from the wrath that's coming. Our salvation did not eliminate the consequences of the judgment seat of Christ. We will have to stand and give an answer for that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. So He is delivering us from what? The wrath that's coming. That's also in the present tense. Now, the word wrath, sometimes we think about what is wrath. Well, I found a verse in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, when He had looked around about on them with anger. This is the same Greek word as wrath. Anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. When we have a hard heart, it produces grief. It causes the Lord to grieve for us. And it also stimulates an emotion called anger. I'm just thinking about the Lord when He went into the temple. He turned over tables. He was extreme. But He got the message across. And so there is a time when there will be anger, and it will be demonstrated at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the fear or the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He is writing to himself. He says, we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us that he is writing to the church. He is writing to those that have been called out. The judgment seat of Christ, basically, is for those who have ears to hear. If a person doesn't have ears to hear, he is not going to be judged on the same basis as those that have been given ears to hear and eyes to see. That would not be a fair judgment. So, this is one of the reasons why the Lord says, walk in wisdom toward them that without. Don't force or lecture kingdom truth upon them, because what you're doing is bringing them into greater judgment. And I have to admit, I have been guilty of doing that. I tell you, you get excited about the truths that you receive, and you begin to share them with people who could care less. And you're not doing the right thing for them. So, here he is talking, he is writing to the church, those that are called. Only those who have ears to hear can hear the call. That's the point I'm making here. The judgment seat of Christ are for those who have ears to hear. And they will be judged according to their deeds. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, Jesus teaching the parable of the sower, he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That is, those that are not called. He gave ears to hear to certain ones, and he didn't give ears to hear to others. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with salvation. The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens have to do with our inheritance in the heavenlies. It has to do with the New Testament and His blood, which we were remembering this morning in breaking of bread. And so, He has given some to have ears to hear the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, and others He has not given. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it says that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. The calling is unto His kingdom and glory. And I want to read this Matthew 22:14. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Salvation is not for the many. Salvation is for everyone. But the calling is upon the plans and the purposes of God concerning His coming kingdom. When David began to rule and reign from Saul, what did he do with Saul's sons? Well, or his family. He disposed of them. And he put in places of responsibility and honor whom he chose. Not everyone was sitting at his right hand. Only the select that he chose were there. And that's what's going to happen in the coming kingdom of our Lord. Now I want to refer to 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us with an holy calling. Now the reason I want you to be aware of this verse here is you can't get a calling from God until you're in the family. You have to be saved first. And then the calling comes after that. A dead man has no ears and cannot hear. Or he may have ears, but he cannot hear. But God has given those who have special ears of hearing, whom He had chosen to be in His coming kingdom. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "But after thy hardness and impudent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." I'm referring to this portion of Scripture because of the wrath of God. And the wrath of God will be demonstrated against those who have hardness and impudent hearts. And it will be at the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In fact, down in Romans 2:16, it's where it talks about those being judged according to Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel pertains to the coming kingdom. So this is what this is referring to. Then verse 6, it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption," it's a better translation of the word immortality, incorruption, "they're the ones that are going to have life for the age. They are the ones who are going to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness," what's going to happen? It's going to be indignation and wrath. It's going to happen to those. The wrath of God is going to be for those who have been contentious or are having a hard heart toward the Lord. And so therefore they're going to receive judgment of God because of it. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 10 through 11, he says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath." The wrath of God forbade them from entering into the land flowing with milk and honey. This is what the wrath of God will do for a child of God who's been called, who has not been obedient to that call. He will be denied entrance into the coming kingdom. We need to be aware of that, so that it would encourage us to live a life that is found pleasing to the Lord. In Hebrews 4 in verses 9 through 11, "Therefore there remaineth a rest to the people of God." Actually, a Sabbath day rest. A seventh day rest. We are looking for the seventh day, which is the millennium, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign, and those that are worthy will rule and reign with Him. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of disobedience. Even though we have been called unto his kingdom and glory, we can fail to enter into that coming kingdom and glory. There are many called, but few chosen. Now, I don't completely understand all the ramifications of those who are elect, but I was having devotions this past week, and I was in 2 Chronicles, and I was reading in 2 Chronicles where it says, in the days when the kings go out to war, that was a reference to David. David did not go out to war. He stayed at home. And this is in 2 Chronicles, and I said, oh no, David. Because I was anticipating his relationship with Bathsheba and all that. But you know what? In 2 Chronicles, there is not a word of it. There is not one word of it. It just goes right on and skips right over that. But you know what? There are only a few that are elect. And Romans chapter 8 tells us, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? The point that I want, the way I take it is this. I know I've been called. And I need to live like I have been chosen. And because I want to make my calling and election steadfast. And so I live like I need to do that every day. And yet when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, they may open the books and be just like 2 Chronicles. Not a word there. Until that day, I'm going to labor. I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the above calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then, when I find out, in that day, if I were part of the elect, praise the Lord. And if I were only part of the called, I can still praise the Lord because I continue to press toward the mark and I can stand in His presence approved. May the Lord help us in these last days to do that. What Paul encourages us to do, to be of the day, to be sober, put on the breastplate, because God hasn't appointed us to wrath at the judgment seat of Christ, but victory. And He has given us everything that we need to run the race and finish it with honor. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just pray, Lord, You'd help us to apply it to our lives. Our desire, Father, is to stand approved in Your presence. And we ask You, Father, to help us to be faithful to You in these last days. May we not become as that servant who said in his heart, You delay Your coming. I've got time. And he became drunken. And he failed to live by faith in a way that was pleasing to Him. And Lord, we know that You appointed Him His portion with those that were faithless. We pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to glorify Thee in obedience. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.